are certainly in need of a revival. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I thank our ministers for opening up. Amen. God bless you all. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. For doing a wonderful work and what God has ordained you to do. Amen. So we are definitely thankful for our mothers on Mother's Day. Amen. I just want you all to know that God is really blessing Rhema. One thing I can tell you, if you study the Bible and you notice God deals with small numbers. And I can tell you this, that God is truly with us. Because with the small amount that shows up on Sunday, even though we have abundance of people on the church book, but the ones that shows up on Sunday, I'm just going to say this to you, that God is really blessing us. Because when you look around and you see the blessing of, you can see the blessing of God. I remember when it was raining in here. Amen. And you really needed a raincoat because it was that much, it was water coming in. We had a puddle right back there that we were trying to get up. And the fire department came in and they was wanting to shut us down. Well, but God, amen, kept us open. Hallelujah. Amen. Didn't know where we was going to get the money, but we got the money. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can't tell me that God is not blessing us. As you can see, the parking lot is done. And wasn't too long ago, we just finished this roof. And then we did the second one. And then we did the parking lot.
Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus.
All God is requiring from us is just our faithfulness. If you would be faithful to God, God would do it. We drove up on a blessing, y'all. I want y'all to know that. We are underneath the blessing. So every time you ride on that parking lot, that is a blessing from God. So if I see y'all circling around on the parking lot, you just want a double portion. But let me just say this, it don't stop there. God has somebody to bless us with some carpet. We didn't even have to purchase it. It was given to us. You cannot tell me that Rhema is not being blessed. God is blessing us here with the faithful few. It's all God requires. We serve an awesome God. Amen. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Giving honor to God who's the head of my life. To our deacons, mothers, to everyone in respective places. Amen. Thank God for our musicians. God bless them. Our trustees. Turn to 1 Samuel, 22nd chapter. My wife, she's working midnights now, so that's why she's not in attendance. When I pulled up, she was here, but she was in the office asleep. Bless her heart. Yeah, amen. Bless her heart. Yeah, she was knocked out. So she wanted to be here. So she working 7 to 7, just so you know that. But her desire was to be here. Amen. She went on home. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. I didn't want to throw a whole lot of scriptures, so I will advise you all to, if you want some studying to do, you can do some studying later on in this chapter. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren, all his father's house, heard it, they went down hither to him. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of his word. What I want to talk to you really on the subject of preparation. God is preparing David for the throne. Amen. Whatever God calls you to do, he has prepared you to do it. Amen. Make no mistake about that. David, we all know, is the man after God's own heart. And he is the anointed king of Israel. But right now, David is on the run. All right. And he's on the run not because he's committed any type of crime. Amen. Not that he's committed any crime. He's not even accused of committing a crime. He's not running because of any failures or because of he did anyone harm. He's on a run because he's dealing with a jealous king named Saul who's after him. But Saul has already disqualified himself as being the king. In other words, God has fired him. He just hasn't left. That's why sometimes when they fire folks, they escort them out.
Amen.
To
amen.
Get them out of there. Because some folks, they try to still argue with you that they still should be there. And man, this is not a time for negotiation. You should have did that in your evaluation, but you should have been doing that in your daily task. But Saul is fired. And God has anointed David to be king, and God has rejected Saul. So here we have God is preparing David. David is filled with the Holy Spirit, and God is preparing him to be the next king for the throne of Israel. David has pretty much at this point hit rock bottom. See, fear makes us do some strange things. You know, when you're scared, it'll make you do some things. You know, fear often causes us to lean on our own understanding. Fear often causes us to lose sight of God, and we begin to take things into our own hands. Fear often makes us cowards. I think Peter, when Jesus was afar off, Peter was warming his hands at the enemy's fire. Right. It wasn't too long ago that he started denying Christ Jesus 3 times. You know, fear, that's what fear does to you. I remember the other day I was cutting grass, and my neighbor, she let her dog out, and I was like close to her property. She has a nice sized dog, and he came charging me. I'm going to be honest with you. I just stood there, and I looked at this dog. And I didn't back down from it. I'm not trying to act like I'm tough. Don't get that. Don't get that twisted, you all. I'm not trying to act like I'm tough, but I wasn't going to show this dog any fear. Amen? So if I had to took off running, he would have ran with me. Amen? I mean, I understand the dog can bite. He don't know that I can bite, too. Amen? I'm a biter. How many messages have I preached that I bite? I bet you when I bite him, he ain't gonna want to. He ain't gonna do that no more. But the lady, she ended up running. They have this electric fence or whatever. She went into the house and she shocked him, you know, and it made him stay on his boundaries. But he was coming, and he was coming towards me, and I looked at him, and he got about right there, and I just looked at him. And when he turned around, I went back cutting grass, you know. But my thing is, what I'm saying is fear. Anybody else in that situation left the lawnmower running, lawnmower would have been cutting somebody else's grass, and you would have ran on in the house. But fear makes us do things. David is in the cave. Did you all hear that?
Amen.
David is in the cave.
Amen.
He has experienced a loss of everything. He leaned on everyone in his life, but now he's alone, defeated, and discouraged. What David did not see at the time, but soon came to understand, that God is behind all of this. See, sometimes we don't understand that there's a teaching moment in what we're going through. Instead of us blaming God, understand the teaching moment you're at right now. Amen? There is always a teaching moment when you deal with God. David did not know it, but God was going to use his time in this cave to help David grow stronger in the Lord. Amen? This is why, you know, when the men come here to Ramah, they go to the man cave, because they need some time to get stronger.
Amen.
Among themselves.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I put them back there in the man cave. So David is in this cave, depressed, feeling alone, discouraged. God anointed him to be king, but it don't look like much, right? I believe he was anointed at 17 to be a king. Here it is, nothing still has happened. Many of us would take things into our own hands. God anointed you to be something, then you're going to force yourself into that position. When you do it, you're not doing it God's way. Yes, God has blessed you with it, but it's the time right. For example, a child may be taller than you, may be, you know, able to reach the pedals in the car. But is that child ready to drive that car? Yeah, their body has developed to the point where they can reach the steering wheel, they can reach the pedals, the brakes. They can reach all of that, but are they ready to drive?
All right.
That makes a difference. Yes, you got the body. Yes, you got the stature. Yes, you got all of that. But are you ready for that responsibility?
All right.
There are times when we think that all help and our strength is gone. We feel alone. We feel discouraged. We feel distraught. When we are dwelling in one of those caves, like, we often fail to see the hand of God moving. We don't understand God's hand. We always want to blame God. We always want to blame someone else. God forbid, if anybody be around you, you're going to blame them. But there are times like this that is ordained for each of us. Understand what I'm saying. There's going to be a moment in time in your life like David is experiencing. God was aware of it. God knew about it. God has ordained it. You didn't think God knew that when he anointed him at age 17 that David was going to be in the cave? God knew that David was going to be in this cave at one day. Okay? God knew that. We should not expect to go through life untouched or unaffected by hardship. That's just not going to happen. God allowed David to come to this cave so David might learn not to lean on his family, his friends, his finances, and his fame. Because remember, David did kill a lot. Sometimes we get this ego, and God's got to bring us down a notch.
Amen. Amen.
He has to humble us. Sometimes we figure, oh, hey, I got this large family. My family's going to help me. My family's going to be there. Or we got a number of friends, or we're popular, or we got the finances, or whatever it is. God wanted to make sure that he humbled this man to lean on him, because that's who he's going to need.
All right.
David was taught through his sufferings to lean upon the Lord. God was not trying to destroy David. God, he anointed him to be king. So he wasn't trying to destroy him. God was not trying to also discipline David. God was attempting to develop him in the man that God wanted him to become.
All right.
God is teaching us to look to him alone and use the hardship of life to develop us. God does not do this to break us. That's not why he's doing this. It's only to build us up. God uses the time of affliction and suffering and pain in our lives to train us to become what he wants us to be. And who is that? He wants us to be like Jesus.
All right.
David has been cut off from his family, his friends, his followers. He is in a place that prevents fellowship with others. David was brought to a place where he had nothing and no one but God. The cave was a place of separation. We often find ourselves in caves as well. God will bring us to a place where we are alone with him and shut off from the rest of the world. And we fear those times, but they often precede the times of God's greatest blessings in our lives.
Right.
When you are shut off from the world, you should not get discouraged, because that is a time that God, that is actually a breaking point where God is getting ready to bless you.
Right.
David, alone in the cave, this is where God's greatest blessings come. Jacob was alone in his tent. Elijah alone by the brook. Job alone surrounded by friends. Moses alone on the backside of the mountain. Jesus alone in agony of the Gethsemane and Calvary. Each of them experienced their greatest triumphs after that time of being shut up and shut off by the Lord.
All right.
So when you feel like you're all alone, you should be rejoicing. Because number one, you're not alone. Two, when you come out of that state, God has a blessing on the other side for you.
Right.
There is a lesson that we need to learn in the dark that cannot be learned in the light.
Right.
And there are truths that can only be understood by those who are cut off and shut up with the Lord.
Right.
The cave times often can be a blessed time of instructions and growth. We may not like it, we may not understand it, but when the Lord has brought you to a place where you have no one and nothing but him, God has did you a tremendous favor.
All right.
Because he has put you with him. He is more than enough.
All right.
He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He said he would stick closer to you than who?
Your brother.
David was anointed the next king of Israel, but not appointed yet. Wasn't time yet. For a long period of time, Saul remained king and became very jealous of David and did his best to eliminate David from the scene. I don't care how much the enemy tries. I don't care how much the devil tries. If you are anointed by God, if God has not given permission to the enemy to take you out, I don't care what they do, it ain't going to work. Y'all remember reading when Saul threw a spear at David's head?
Amen. Amen.
Did he hit him? No. You want to know why? Because God made sure that his anointing wasn't touched. David, being protected by God. Saul, at this time, was living in wickedness, rebellion. The blessing of God had departed Saul. Saul was done. It was just all in a matter of time from Saul. David was a major threat to Saul at this point. But David had something that Saul did not have, and that was the favor of God on his life. When you got the favor of God on your life, I hear people say it all the time, favor ain't fair. I be going to visit providers, and I hear people talking, you know, when they get blessed, and they talk about favor ain't fair. But see, sometimes people use this stuff out of content. Let's just be real, y'all. People use this stuff out of content. When they may have done something like, let's just say something, like beat somebody in line to get the last cake that they may have. All of a sudden, they want to say, favor ain't fair. God ain't got nothing to do with you getting that last piece of cake. But they saying favor and walking off with it. Now, if they had a trip and then it fell on the floor, can we say favor ain't fair? Will we be wrong for that? I'm just saying. But we put that on everything when it benefits us. But that's not what it is. This is talking about something that God has anointed in David's life. He anointed him to be king, and God was going to be sure that David made it to that throne. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. David even had the opportunity to take the life of Saul. And one time, cut off a piece of Saul's robe. Could have took his life. But he did not. He did not. And here's the thing about that. I wonder, this is why maybe they say David is a man after God's own heart. Because David could have took him out, but he spared his life. God could have did the same thing to us and took us out, but he spared our life. So I kept wondering, I said, David is a man after God's own heart. God, what are you telling me? I could have took you all out, but I didn't. Could have, but he didn't. Now you can understand why he said that. But if you look in verse 2, it says, talks about everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontent gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. How was David supposed to help them, and he was living in this cave? Y'all understand that? Have y'all ever had people to come to you? You are in a situation yourself. And let's just put it to you this way. Let's just say you're on the side of the road. You stranded too. Okay, you stranded. Somebody else is in need of help, and they come to you for help, but you need help yourself. You in the situation yourself. And so, isn't it amazing that because of no fault of your own, you're in this situation, but people are coming to you needing help. Here it is, people coming to David, and David is in this situation. David need help. Y'all follow me? David is in need of some help, but yet, here are these people who are also in need of some help surrounding David. It doesn't make sense to me. I was trying to understand this. Why is it that they need help? And why is it that they are coming to David? So I was trying to understand why this situation or why this particular verse or why is this here. What I'm trying to get across is that there are times when our caves becomes another person's deliverance.
All right.
Sometimes you just can't explain it. Uh-huh. It won't make sense. Friends won't understand it, but you know in the pits of your heart that is the right thing to do is to help. Sometimes, you know, I know some people, You know, there's times where, you know, when I'm, you know, talking to my wife, she wants me to explain everything. I cannot explain everything. There's no one on this earth I know that can explain everything. But she still wants to know. But see, here's the thing. You know, you're going to come a time in your life that you're going to understand that it is God working in this situation. See, I realize that we live in a selfish and self-serving world. Most people are looking out for themselves. Greed has become an overwhelming blockage to joy. Sometimes, you know, Let me just say this. There could be times where God knows that you have something that other people don't know you have. God is wanting you to release what you have, okay, in order to open up a door for you to get something else. But because you're holding on to what you have, because it's tangible, you can feel it, and you're confident that is yours, God is saying, but I got something much better than what you're holding on to. Amen. And I just need you to just release it. Yes, but see, it hurts us to let it go. Amen. And so therefore, we don't receive what's on the other side of what we don't see. Right. Because we're holding on to what we see. And God is saying, now some people can say, oh, that's a real powerful message. But we don't understand that that script is for us. We are in a situation that we could probably bless other people, but we don't. And so God said, okay, until you release that, which whatever it is, I'm going to keep holding on, and you're going to keep praying for it, and God's saying, not until you release what I'm telling you to release, to bless others. Many times we have more than what we can use. Am I right? We have more than what we can use, but if it's comfortable to us, we need to understand that when reality comes knocking at the door of your cave and you know what God is speaking to your spirit, the only thing to do is rescue those who are in distress and debt and discontent. We have a promise from God. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him and his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. All right. The Bible says, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. For a while, David had been alone, but at this moment in his life, here comes a reunion. Because remember, when David went to kill Goliath, his brothers got an attitude, wanted to know why he was here. What are you doing here? So to me, that's that older brother, little brother wasn't really getting along with him. And when you see him come around, you didn't really care for him. After all, he was anointed king and you wasn't. So notice that David's family shows up. So there is a coming together. There was a unity in the family that made this a natural move, but they were also now in danger as well because Saul would go after his family. You know, when you love somebody, they go after them too. If somebody wants to, that's what I try to tell my wife. I said, if they can't get me, if the enemy, the devil can't get me, he'll get you. If you're not protecting yourself, and then he won't stop there. If he can't get either of us, he'll get our children. Then if he don't work, if he can't get that, he'll keep going until he'll find a weak link. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But yeah, this is a game that I played when I was growing up. And it's called Red Rover. Y'all played that? And what did you do? You look for the weakest link. I used to look, I'd be like, let's see, there goes LaDonna right there. Cortega's over there. Let's see. And I'd be like, you know, they just call your name, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Ronnie right over. I said, yeah, I'm coming over. But I'm busting through. I didn't go where the boys were. No disrespect. I didn't go where the boys were, because the boys are clothesline you. Okay? I knew what time it was with the boys. Boys played dirty. But them girls, I was coming full speed right at them. And y'all know what they did? Full speed. They move. Now, if you did that to the guys would have been like this. They would have clotheslined you, and you would have been like, and you would have somersault right on off the school property. Then got in trouble. But you look for the weakest link, is my point, and I'm trying to get y'all to understand. You look for the weakest link. And in looking for the weakest link, that's what the devil does. The devil look for the weakest link. All right. And he tries to find it, and he keeps going down the line until he gets what he wants. So the second group that was drawn to David were people who came to him because of common trouble. Many times, you are associated with people who have similar issues with you. We came from a ministry that was hurting, and we were hurt in the ministry. So generally, you get those same type of people as well that was hurt in the ministry as well, you know. But everyone is being hurt, you know, and so they're coming to David and looking for David. There's a reason why God has got all these people coming to David. He surrounded him around all these people. Get the point that is going on here. Here's the point. What God is doing at this particular time in David's life, David is in his cave, and God knows he's in his cave. God sent all these people to him. God sent these people to him for a reason. And the reason is because God wants David to rise up and be that anointed king that he has placed inside of him. And God has surrounded these people around David to make him be the leader that God has called him to be. I promise you all this, and I dare you all to try it. If you ever are in control of a group of people, and you're over an event or anything of that magnitude, put a group of people together. Don't give any direction as far as who should be the leader. Just give them an assignment and watch a leader spring forth out of that group. Amen. Naturally. Amen. So God put all of these people together in this cave. And God forced David to spring up and be the leader that he has called him to be. All right. Surrounded by all these problems, David realized, hold up now. It's like the prodigal son ran away and was out there really bad, but he came to himself. So David too was on the run, out there by himself, but really wasn't by himself because God is with him. But my point is, he came to himself and realized that I'm a king. I'm anointed by God. This group looked like nothing of David's mighty warriors. But God took this same group of men, 400, he took this same group of people and made them into David's mighty army. That's what God can do. Amen. See, if you ever gone through surgery Somebody that's going through surgery, getting ready to go through surgery, guess what? You can tell them what it's like because you've been through that. If you ever had to live in government housing, God has given you a house now, you can testify that God is able. If you ever had to ride bi-state transportation going to work, now you can understand if you got a car now that God has blessed you with, that you can put gas in your own vehicle and you don't have to stand at their bus stop anymore. You can testify to others who are riding bi-state. God has put us in situations to be able to give a testimony to individuals to let them know if God has blessed you and I'm standing next to you, then that lets me know that my blessing ain't too far from me. These 400 men developed leadership skills that would serve him well during the years of David being king. David knew that God had more for him than being in his cave. He knew that this was a temporary situation, that one day he would live in the palace. He also knew that his life was not in the hands of Saul, nor it was going to be a life filled with distress. But he knew that at some point, David will fulfill his assignment that God has given him. David even had a prophet in verse 5. David had a prophet to come to him and prophesy to him. Basically, he was saying to David that this cave clinic that you're in right now is closed. It's time for you to come out of here. You can't continue to stay in this cave. All right. This is not what God anointed you to do. All right. This is not what God anointed you to be. It's hiding in this cave. He anointed you for a bigger purpose than this right now. So you need to rise up and be what God has called you to be. Let me say this. I understand that we are humans. I understand we get our feelings hurt. I understand that we have problems in this life. There's nothing wrong with dealing with it and being sad for a moment. But at some point, you got to rise above it. I remember when it hurt me really bad when my brother was killed. And I said, no, I said, not at the age of 19. I was so mad, I wanted to punch something. But it didn't drive me away from the church. Right. It drove me into the ministry of God to preach the gospel. Because I did not allow that setback, that drawback to hinder me from doing what God wanted me to do in the ministry. Yes, it hurt. Yes, I was down. Yes, I felt like everything was just all over for me. But you know what? It didn't keep me from serving God. Going through the pain of sin, everything. Let me tell you something. God knows that we're dealing with this. God know what's going on. God sent these men to David in that cave. David was able to get his mind off of his problems and focus his attention on leading them and training them to be a fighting force. It was a humble beginning, but David was forced and was focused, and soon he would walk out of that cave better than what he was when he went into the cave. See, we need to understand this. We need to understand this. If y'all ever understood archery, God is a master archer. God, there's going to be times in our lives where we're going to have problems. We're going to have some setbacks. But I want you to visualize this for me for a moment. God is a master archer. God takes the bow and arrow, okay? He goes and he picks it up and he selects it, right? And he comes and he plants his feet. And he takes that arrow. God, God knows the target he wants it to hit. He knows the destination for this arrow. So God takes it and he draws it back. Uh-huh. Now, listen to me very carefully. Notice I said he draws it back.
All right.
David was an arrow in God's hands. David had some setbacks in his life. God selected him, anointed him, plucked him out. Then when he was selected, God took him, and you notice that David had some setbacks because he was 17 when he was anointed, but he was 30 when he took the throne. So he had some setbacks. In other words, God had to set him back Follow me. God had to send him back and looked at the target. The target was the throne. So God grabbed him and sent him back, aimed at the throne, and he released David, fired him straight to the target, and he went and he hit the throne. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes in your life, you are going to experience a setback. But just remember this one thing, that God came first and selected you out of all the arrows that was there. Because remember, his brothers was there too. But he picked out David, grabbed him, came to the set, put him in the arrow, and fired him back. And let him go. And he hit his target. Yes, he had some setbacks. Yes, he had some problems. Yes, he was on the run. But as long as he was in, as long as he was in God's hands, God was in control of everything. And God released him and fired David towards the throne. And he became the king of Israel. With your life. This is why now I understand why David said, I look towards the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Why was he saying I'm looking towards the hills? Because he knows that there are times in his life where he was on the top, and then there were times in his life where he was in the valley. But through it all, he looked towards the hills from which came his help. God identified the throne as David's destiny. If you would allow God to identify your destiny, there's going to be some setbacks. But when the Lord releases you, you're going to hit your target. I promise you, it will be a bullseye. So we're going to have some setbacks in our lives. But understand this. God is the master archer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You in his hands.
Yes.
And as long as you're in his hands, you'll be all right.
Yes.
God was in control of this whole situation that David was in.
Yes.
God knew all about it. He kept his eye on him. Yes. Knew exactly where David was at all times. Where was he? Right there in God's hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where can you go that the Lord is not there?
All right.
He's everywhere. So that's what the Lord said to me.
Yeah.
He said, you may have some setbacks in your life.
Yeah.
But as long as you stay in my hands,
yeah.
He said, I promise you, you'll hit that target.
Yeah.
And that target that I'm reaching is heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
Doors of the church is now open. We're extending an invitation to Christ. We see that everyone here is a member. We thank you all for coming. At this time, let us all stand. To him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Let the church say, amen.